B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, as promised, right to your calls, virtual fans, fake crowd noise. I'm watching a sitcom. Dwayne in Illinois. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. I appreciate you guys for taking my call. I'm just trying to make a comment on as far as the Patriots fans are concerned. For 20 years, I believed and thought I was an actual Patriots fan until Brady left, and I found out that I'm a Brady fan. So I'm looking forward to Bill Belichick and the Patriots getting their head busted to the white meat until Brady retires. Thanks, guys.
Okay. So, I mean, like, if you're a neutral fan who came to the Patriots like that, that's different. You know, did you grow up with the Patriots? If you grew up with the Patriots and you're not a fan for life, then you're not a fan. You're just not a fan. You're something else, which is fine. Doesn't make you a bad person. I just don't really consider you a real sports fan. You know, if you move to a new city and then start rooting for that team because you live in that city, I'm sorry, you're not really a sports fan. This is just sort of my worldview. And it doesn't make you a bad person. You're just not a real sports fan. It's just another form of entertainment for you, like going to the movies or watching a TV show. So, you know, a real fan, the team that you grew up with is your team. And it doesn't matter who's on it. It doesn't matter who's on it or how good or bad they are. You're stuck with them. That's, to me, what a real fan is. And if you don't want to be a real fan, that's fine. Again, I'm not passing judgment like you're a good person or a bad person. I'm just saying, this goes back to the Patriots poll on NBC Sports Boston, that Patriots fans will lose interest or they'll bail on the team if they have a couple bad years. Well, then you weren't really a fan. If you want to root for the Patriots without Tom Brady, then you weren't really a Patriots fan. Unless it's just a short-term sort of spite thing. Like, I get the search. That's an act of passion, you know. That's a jilted lover thing. But if you're just fair weather about the thing, then you were never really a fan in the first place.
So, but those people that you're talking about are, by definition, are hangers-on. Those are the people who are dropping off. They just jump on for the ride for a good thing, and then when it's over, they jump off and get on the next thing. And there is a segment. Now, I happen to agree with you. Like, if you're someone who grew up with the team, and then they get good, and then Brady leaves, and then you get off, oh, you're a loser.
Like, come on.
You're a loser. You are a hollow, shallow human being. and seriously. But the people that are dropping out, that 20% number, those people are. They're shallow, hollow human beings that just jump from one lily pad to the next.
Or not, they're just not real fans.
They're not.
Derek in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Derek.
Hi, I wish Murray were against this fake fans idea because I'd like to hear him rant against it. I agree with you, Michael. I think you put it very well. I think it's cheap, and there's no way I would watch if they were simulating the fans. I'd rather they simulate the whole season, players and all, through a John Madden simulation.
Okay, I mean, Derek, I'm watching. I mean,
you're gonna watch.
I haven't gone that far. Like, I'm so freaking horned up right now for anything live sports wise. I'll watch anything. I've watched the Korean baseball.
Yeah, other than the fake orgasm
for crying out loud. I mean, but you know, give it to me real. Give it to me real. This is going to be a completely unique thing, and it's not going to be as good. Like, I acknowledge it. It's not going to be as good. It's going to suck not having fans in there. But that is what it is. You can't trick me. You can't, like, even just in a short-term little burst, give me a little something that makes me feel like it used to be. I don't want that. I'd like to see and feel how it is, not how it used to be or how it should be or what I'm used to it being. I want it reflected in what it actually is.
So I just want to see him try, Murray. That's all. I want to see him try. And don't let that guy kid you. He's going to stop watching because of this. Please. That's
no
a lie.
It's like no the way. Same people. I'm not going to watch the NFL because of Kaepernick. You were still there. We saw the numbers. Oh. Maz, you're into it for the technological aspect of it because you're a gadget dork. I get that and I respect that. I kind of am too. But I want it because I'm a big baby. I want it to be like how it normally is. And I'm not really interested in the visual aspect to it. But the crowd noise, I want the crowd noise. Because if someone scores a touchdown or scores a goal, I want to hear a pop. Even if it's a manufactured pop.
And what you're seeing is an empty seat, but there's a roar? Like, that's going to do it for you?
It's just
it's not going to be empty. There's going to be a virtual fan in there.
I forgot.
I told you. If you're all horned up, you should be happy with the fake orgasm.
It's not going to prevent me from watching, but it's just so insulting. And it is corny and contrived, and it ain't going to work because the guy on the button is not going to know exactly when to hit it. And Joe Buck and he are going to be trying to orchestrate the thing, choreograph the thing. So this is not just a choreographed show. It's just a show. No. I want my sporting event to be nonfiction. I keep saying this. I do not want a choreographed bit. Choreographed routine. That's not what I'm in this for. Just tell me what's going on the game. It'll be enough. It usually is. Peter and Peabody on Patriots popularity. Should I say that 10 times fast?
What's up, guys? Hey, I can't believe that guy who called about Brady and said that he's a parasite. You stole my thunder completely, Felger. It is 100%. You are not a sports fan if that's your stance. It's despicable. And as far as this crowd stuff with the fake noise, and I just pray they don't do it with hockey. I want to hear some chirping. They're going to ruin this. Like, people are dying for sports right now, dying for it. You're going to have your ratings. Don't ruin it with this fake crap.
Exactly. I love you guys. Thank you, Pete. I guess they did it at the NFL draft, but I don't remember it, Murray. Like, what was the piped in noise at the NFL draft?
When they were about to make the picks behind Goodell were the fans of that appropriate team.
Oh, no. I mean, I saw that, of course, and then that canned, stiff sort of interaction between Goodell and those fans. You're saying that was fake?
Well, no, yeah. Well, all those fans they had on Zoom in real time, and they were also putting in teams cheerleaders and stuff like that. Like, I was good with that. I didn't need the horrible interaction, the wooden interaction between the commissioner turning around to the screen, pretending to be like, all right, let's hear it, you guys. Like, that was terrible. But the fans being there and them, you know, putting that sound in, I'm good with that.
So the sound was made up, though, you're saying?
You know, it was just from fans on Zoom. It wasn't, like, fake. It wasn't fake sound.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying.
That's different.
You're right. It wasn't the sitcom laugh track. It was actual fans at their computer saying something into the computer and then them spitting it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but even that, I thought, added to the broadcast. So, no, if they're going to put in, like, canned applause or roar the crowd or that kind of thing for a big play, like, I'm for it. I think the game would need it.
Oh, it's insulting.
I told you, I'm in. I want to see what it looks like, man. And if, you know, somebody's having reaching some sort of climax while all this is going on, I want to hear it.
It's like an episode of Seinfeld. Happy days. Paul in Las Vegas. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, guys. What's up? I got both sides of this. You know, I moved to Vegas the day after the Patriot-Packer Super Bowl. And, you know, if you saw somebody with a Patriot hat on, you know, you went up and asked him where he was from because there was none. Today, ten cars won't go by you without Patriot stuff all over it. And my second point is, yeah, I'm going to get blasted for this, but I can't wait till they start losing again so I can actually be a fan with some interest. It's not, you know, the Patriot Titan Super Bowl was like during the whole game. It's, well, there's going to be a perfectly placed pass interference and chip shot range.
So, Paul, before we go too far down that road, I think they're going to be more interesting this year, too. So I agree with you on that last point. The first point, I don't blame you for not having a ton of Patriots fans in 1996, if that's a, you know, Packers game you're talking about. But, you know, by that point, you had just become relevant a couple of years ago, you know, meaning when Parcells got there in 93. And up until that point, it was a freaking basket case. I'm not blasting anyone for not being a Patriot fan then. And I'll say, you know, going forward, if the new Patriots management into the next generation manages it the way it was the first 30 years here, 40 years here, or, you know, we have a Dan Snyder situation here, then you're allowed to bail. If it gets that bad, then I understand. I get it. But as long as they're mostly living up to their end of the bargain with just a viable, legitimate NFL product, and you bail on the team because you're not winning 6 Super Bowls in 9 years or not going 9 times in 18 years because you just can't, you're not going to be a fan unless they have that level of success. Oh, F you. You're never a fan in the first place. That's the guy I'm talking about. But now that it's here, Maz, now that it's here, if you grew up in this generation, there's a full 20 years. It's almost a, you know, generation is what, 30 years? So, I mean, with Bill's tenure here, if he goes another 4 or 5 and they continue to win, you're talking about a full generation of exemplary football. If they're not on the map for the next 100 years, lock, stock, and barrel, there's something wrong. Then you as fans were frauds.
Yeah, look, a lot of, and I don't, again, to me, there's just a certain segment of the fan base that is hollow. But if Bill can start it up again, then I think you'll see, you know, A, that number will stay solid, and B, there will be people who come back and stick around, and the number will get even bigger.
But even as it is. But
Mike, a lot of people, maybe this is really, you know, and this is the stunning part of it in some way. A lot of people connect the program, quote unquote, with Brady. They don't believe in the program. They believe in Brady.
It's the team. It's the team you grew up with. It's your team. It represents your city. I mean, I wish they were the Boston Patriots, but you know what I mean. So, like, you should be stuck with them, especially now. And all it takes is one generational run, and you should be stuck. You know, that's the way it works with the Steelers. That's the way it worked with the Packers. It's the way it works with the Cowboys. You know, that's it. They are those teams are stuck, and you grew up in those areas. Those are your teams, and nothing's going to change it. And it took one generational run for them to get to that place. And that's where you are, and that's what the Patriots should be. I don't want to hear this 1-5. 1-5? We'll lose interest if they have a rough couple of years? That's pathetic. That's way too high of a number. Boo! Exactly. Hit the boo button, Fox. And then Joe Buck has to lay out to make sure that the production guy hits the button just at the right time, and then Buck will come back in right when he lays off the level on the crowd noise. It's just going to be like a radio it's going to be a radio producer dinking around with buttons in a room, Murray. That's why you're watching these games? Must some guys play with their buttons?
And I just can't have silence after a touchdown or a big play. I need something, even if it's fake.
Oh.
Make it sound like how it normally sounds. Me forget the hell that I'm now living in.
Surprisingly enough, though, this fake crowd noise and virtual crowd and all this nonsense isn't the worst thing to happen to sports in the last 24 hours. I'll give you that coming up right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. Fill your mess. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
No, I'm not splitting no revenue. I want all mine. Bro, y'all got to understand, too, because y'all going to be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm going to play, I should be getting the money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid because the season's cut in half on top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there. So I'm really getting like 25%. On top of that, it's getting taxed. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't making And on top of that, so all that money's gone. And now I play risking my life. And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? Oh, yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be, like, the damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever. So now I got to play with that on top of that. So, y'all got to understand, man, for me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. It's a shorter season, less pay. Like, bro, it's... Yeah, man, I gotta get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine.
That was the worst thing for sports in the last 24 hours. But you wonder why I'm so anti-Major League Baseball Player Union. There you have it, Blake Snell. And the reason I think it's that comment's so important is because it's just so representative. It's so representative of the way the Major League Baseball Players Union has carried itself for probably a full generation. And I think that the thing that I'm most concerned about is the overall state of baseball and what's happened to the sport and how it's deteriorated in the last, I don't know, decade or so. And I think the players are largely responsible because they've fought every change to the game, just like they fight every economic facet of the game, to their detriment. And I've found them tone deaf, obstructionist, and completely oblivious to anything other than themselves. And those comments, Maz, sum it up perfectly.
Oh, totally. Look, again, the whole attitude of the baseball player is that I'm not changing my behavior for anybody, which, again, in some ways, you know, depending on what the circumstances, there are times where that's a valuable asset. In this particular case, you look like a bunch of donkeys. And this guy in particular, I just find, I'll tell you, for all the stupid things that I have heard athletes say over the, you know, the last 35 years, and you've been in Boston for that long too. Okay, this one is right up near the top. Wow. Talk about completely out of touch, moronic, downright arrogant, all of the above.
Think about
it. This guy doesn't have a clue what the hell he's talking about.
There is a world pandemic. People are suffering economically, physically, health-wise. Everyone has suffered some sort of loss economically anyway, whether it's a pay cut or a loss of a job or a family member who has suffered one of those things. That accounts for 95% of the people, I think, in our country have been affected in some way, shape, or form. And everyone's fighting to get back in some way, shape, or form. And this guy says, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine. Quote, unquote, I want all of mine. Never mind the stuff about risking your life, which is really insulting when you consider the people who actually are risking their lives. And, you know, never mind the hospital workers and the frontline responders, which goes without saying. But the millions of people just in their daily life at grocery stores, delivery services, bars and restaurants as they open up, any retail store that opens up, those people are far more on the front lines than a baseball player who's going to come back and be in something of a bubble, something of a controlled environment where they are going to be protected or at least have protections that go far beyond what the average American is going to have, who has given up their money too, and they didn't have a choice in it. And this guy comes out and says, I want all of mine. I'm not playing unless I get mine. Is there a line or a sentence that better sums up the Major League Baseball Players Association than, quote, I'm not playing unless I get mine? That's it in a nutshell. Murray, I know you had some thoughts.
Yeah, and it's just such a terrible look. And you know, we've known that you know, he's a microcosm of how most of the baseball players handle themselves by him saying this. It's not that big of a surprise, but just keep it to yourself. Like, it's just so incredibly tone deaf to actually say this on a Twitch stream, or even if you tweeted it and you wrote it. What are you doing? And no one, and you're not going to get public to side with you. By and large, they're not going to understand it, considering not just the money that you make, but I don't know, like, it's just at this time that are such extreme circumstances, it's just ridiculous. Like, it's, this is how they feel, then shut it down. And maybe, I'm not alone, I think baseball should never return again, and people wouldn't miss it if this is how they feel. Like, that he's going to, I got to get mine to go back out there. I'm risking your life. And again, I don't think that they are. And even if people do want to argue against that, like, well, the players, you know, they have families and newborns and they live with elderly relatives and they could affect someone. So fine. But again, tell that same thing to grocery store workers, UPS drivers, delivery drivers, essential workers. No one is going to side with these guys, and rightfully so. It's just so stupid. If you feel this way, we all know that you do, baseball players, just keep it to your damn selves.
Well, and I'll tell you, too, the more that they link, or people like Snell link playing or the salary with living and dying, I'm really losing my mind over it. So, and the more that I think about it, like, you know, I'm risking my life. I'm not going to take a penny less. Okay, so Blake Snell's due $7 million this year. That's his full salary. Okay, $7 million. So where's the line? Tell me where the line is. You want the full $7 million? Like, if you're going to die, it's going to cost me $7 million. Is that the deal? And his answer, I presume, would be yes. Then you know what? Here's the $7 million. Go away. Go away. Just go away. If we give you the $7 million, will you leave? Will you just go away? Disappear. Because if that's what it's worth to you, then here's the $7 million. Go pound sand and go to hell. Bye-bye. Leave. I'm done. Here's your $7 million. See you later. Like, that is just so disingenuous. It is so disingenuous to say that. If it's a safety issue, then your number, pal, is way too low. Way too low. Your number should be about $100 million, and then we can talk about you jumping off the top of a building if you want. Okay? Like, and I'm not, you know, and I'm not telling you, I'm being harsh, and I don't mean it that way. I'm just telling you, for them to make that connection is asinine.
It's a group that's just gotten way out of control. It's hurt the game. I think the Major League Baseball Players Association has really hurt the game and is in some ways killing the game. And until the owners take them on and get back control of the game, I just feel baseball is headed on this slide, because I don't think the players have the best interest of the game in mind, and they've gotten so powerful and so obstinate and so tone deaf that this is where we're headed. We're going to get more of this until the owners finally stand up to them. And I've been playing this all day because I think it's one and the same. I mean, there's a huge issue with pace of play in the game and the time of game and length of game and how desperately the game needs to tighten up the product and speed up the product. And everyone knows it. And when the players are presented with it, they, of course, do their usual thing, which is no, 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 no. In fact, David Price was asked, again, your game is suffering. The numbers are down. This game has to be sped up. They're looking at a pitch clock, David. Will you go for a pitch clock? And he says,
I don't care. I'm taking my time.
I don't care. I'm taking my time. And to me, it's the exact same answer as Blake. There's a pandemic going on. They need to come up with a new payroll structure to get this season in. Will you consider that? And he says,
yeah, man, I gotta get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine.
It's the same answer. We need to speed up the game. Price says, I don't care. I'm going to take my time. Blake, you're going to have to take less to get this season in. No way. I'm not playing unless I get mine. It's the same answer. It's the same deal. That's the Major League Baseball Players Association. A few quick calls on this real quick. Chris in Ipswich. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, two quick points. So I completely agree with you guys that the Players Association should do things that make the game better. I can't believe all three of you, how wrong you are about the players giving back money. So Henry buys a team for $600 million. Now it's worth $3 billion. There's no profit sharing, right? So we're on the lucky sperm club side where, oh, we can't lose money. Well, if sell the team or borrow money from a bank. Nobody made you sign those contracts under duress. Now they want to do splitting of money. What about all the years they made huge sums of money when they won the World Series? They do profit sharing with the players? Why, as a player, if I have a legal right and nobody signed the contract under duress and we play 82 games, why should I get less than 50% of my pay? Why? Because Henry might lose some money? Well, you know what? That's corporate welfare. Okay. You get to make a lot of money in good times, and in bad times, somebody should give me money so I don't lose money.
Chris, it's a good point. We've said it a million times. I've said it many times. They have the right to negotiate, and they have the right to try and carve out a good deal for themselves, even in these times. Even in these times, to come out publicly and say, I ain't doing anything unless I get mine. Oh, that is a gross comment. That is a comment from someone who is completely, utterly oblivious and tone deaf, which is what the Major League Baseball Players Association is. But they have the right, you know, to try and carve out a deal. No one said they don't.
I mean, you said a second ago, you know, they don't have the, when you were talking about the pace of play stuff, and this all relates to the same thing, obviously, that they don't have the best interest of the game in mind. They never do. They never do. They certainly give the appearance that they act selfishly all the time. And the problem is right now that I'm not telling you the owners have the best interest of the game at mine either. Because if they did, they would dig in harder on the pace of play stuff and on some of these other issues. And they don't. Nobody has the best interest of the game in mind. And that's the problem.
Tom and Quincy, what are your thoughts?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, real quick. I don't know if, like, I heard Blake Snell's comments early when I was working. And honestly, when I heard it, I couldn't even freaking believe what I was hearing. But it almost sounds like someone dared him to do it. It's like, hey, how bad do you think people react if we say this? And he actually friggin' said it, right? And I get it when athletes speak off the top of their head. You know, a mic gets jammed in their face. They're aggravated after a loss. They say what's on their mind. This tool had all day long to come up with a rational thing to say, because there's no microphone, there was no interview, there was no conversation, it was him on some app, right? And this, his response, which, by the way, I could do without ever hearing that voice ever in my life, never mind what he had to say and how he said it. What a tool bag this guy is. But this is what he came up with. And if I honestly think, like, is MLBPA, are they coming up like, who can be a bigger douche this offseason?
Blake Snell won the prize. You thought it couldn't get worse than Boris and Tony Clark on day one. Oh, it got worse. Got worse, and it didn't even take 48 hours for it to get worse. You know, again, it's only in no other circumstance would I root for these baseball owners. And previous caller's right. I'm not worried about John Henry and his bottom line, but that's how bad the baseball players have gotten. That's how bad the baseball players have gotten. They've got me rooting for that other side mess.
Mike, just quickly, too, that as it pertains to Snell, and I just want to bring this up because we've gotten a bunch of emails about it today, and I think it's worth mentioning. So Snell sits there today or on this Twitch broadcast and says, you know, I'm sacrificing my life. You know, I'm potentially sacrificing my life. I'm putting my life at stake. On March 11th, he is quoted as saying, I think the media kind of hypes up the coronavirus. If they want to look out for our health, that's cool, but I'm not too worried about it. If I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. Okay? So now, but now all of a sudden, he's putting his life on the line.
It's about like, the money.
It's about the money. Please, please. Whether the players want to hear this or not, they're acting like a bunch of selfish jerks, and they have been for some time.
Do you guys want to keep? We have five questions that have nothing to do with sports in the queue. Do you want to go to that, or do you want to keep bashing baseball players and virtual crowds and Patriots fans?
Murray?
I mean, we'll have this ready if we have a day without content. So if you got calls, let's do the calls, and we'll push it off for another day.
I concur.
Okay. I put it to a vote still. We got in the can for tomorrow. Tomorrow's agenda free. We do that sort of crap tomorrow. So with the vote now taking, we will come back and continue bashing baseball players, Patriots fans, and what? Fake crowd noise and fake fans, Joe Buck, right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Networks have to put crowd noise under us to make it as
do you think
normal
they'll do that?
Viewing experience at home.
You think they'll do that?
I do. Yeah, I
really?
Think they'll do it. I know. In fact, I know they'll do it. And they are to the
that's,
point
that's
now
the conversation right now.
That's it's pretty much a done deal. I think whoever's going to be at that control is going to have to be really good at their job and be realistic with how a crowd would react depending on what just happened on the field. So it's really important. And then on top of that, they're going to put they're looking at ways to put virtual fans in the stands. So when you see a wide shot, it looks like the stadium's jam packed, and in fact,
wow,
it'll be empty.
That's wild. Freaking robot fans and a laugh track. That's just a disgrace. It really is a disgrace. I know, I'm as usual, I'm kind of an island on this, but I think the fanless and the crowdless stadium is going to be a pretty easy adjustment. I think you're going to be surprised how quickly you forget the crowd, don't care about the crowd, and just go back to watching the ball game. I you know, obviously it's better with the crowd, obviously. All things being equal, I want fans in there too. And you'll notice it if there's Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals or the Eastern Conference Finals and someone's at the free throw line and it's deathly quiet. Like, I get it. But I think, by and large, for the most part, it's going to be an easy adjustment. And by the end of it, you're going to be very used to no fans in the stands, and you're not going to need some Seinfeld laugh track or computerized generated CMG. What is it? IMG, CMG, the, you know, animated crowd to make you think there's a crowd there. You're not going to need it.
CGI, I think.
Whatever. You're not going to need that crap. I know you're into that. You want to dork out to that crap, Maz. I'm telling you, you're not going to need it. You're going to surprise yourself how much you're just going to be fine watching the ball game.
I know what my limits are. I'm just telling you, I'm interested in seeing if they can pull it off. That's all. I'm going to enjoy the game either way. It's got nothing to do with it. I want to see whether they can pull it off. And I think that there's a chance that this thing could be absolutely freaking comical. Like, the idea of virtual fans in the stands, what are they going to look like? If they look like the rest, like the typical fans of the rest of America, they're going to be fat. That's what they're going to be. They're going to be huge. They're going to have their picking lint out of their belly buttons the whole 9 yards of sitting out there. Yeah, because I got to go out in the tailgate at halftime.
I think it's,
that's what I want to see. Have some fun with it.
I think it's ridiculous. John and Waylon. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, how you doing? Regarding football, I don't really care if they play or not. I kind of, you know. But if they're going to put people in this, this whole virtual thing, why not mic up the players? That's enough for me.
We talked about this earlier, John. Yes, obviously, give us those noises, those sounds, I mean, the sounds of the game, mic up the players. Easy thing to say, easy thing to want. I want it too. It'll never happen effectively. Never, ever, ever, ever. The way we want it, the way we need it, the way it needs to be done, which is uncensored, live, what are they really saying? Because
it could potentially ruin their lives.
Oh,
who's
my God.
Gambling, who's raw dogging, you know, someone in a different city. Like, you know, you could never do it.
It goes beyond your mother wears combat boots or whatever. Like, there's some of the insults get real personal. Maybe someone's married and the insult involves something that's out of his marriage. Never mind the game planning stuff, which, you know, the coaches are going to get paranoid about. Never mind just how sensitive everybody is. The example I'll give you again is that the NFL mics up their players, but they edit it and they censor it so heavily we get nothing. Until last year against the Jets, we got just a little snippet of honesty where Sam Darnold, the young quarterback there at the Jets, said, "I'm seeing ghosts against the Patriots." ESPN broadcast it and the Jets pitched a fit. Adam Gase pitched a fit. Sam Darnold had to go explain it, and they hated it. And that wasn't even bad. That was nothing. That was so mild, but even that got their backup. So if they're not going to want us to hear "I'm seeing ghosts," you're never going to hear anything good out there. So it's never going to happen. It's a pipe dream.
It's too bad. It's a great opportunity.
Scott in Blackstone on Patriots fans and loyalty and all that. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'll try to keep this short. When I was 14 years old, I saw a T-shirt that said 1989 Eastern Division Champs. 31 years later, I am still a Buffalo Bills fan. I saw wide right, 4 Super Bowl losses, the Music City Miracle, and 17 years without a playoff spot. And I am still here. So, Felger, I know exactly what you mean. When you're on for life.
Wait, it's like sexual orientation. You are what you are. You can't help it. The team you grew up with and the team that got in your blood is in your blood if you're a real fan. And that's it. There's nothing they can do, nothing you can do. You just... it's default, no matter how much they suck or whatever, unless, you know, there are some rare cases where a Dan Snyder, you know, drives you away from a team. But, you know, just so long as that doesn't happen, that's your team. You're stuck. It doesn't matter if you move somewhere else, you know, whatever. That's your team. So the Patriots fans that say they're out if they have a couple bad years, I just wonder about you. You were never fans in the first place. And I find that whole sort of worldview disgusting. Even though it doesn't make you a bad person, it just doesn't make you a hardcore fan.
Jim, you're hollow.
Jim on Cape Cod on Snell. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Mike. Yes, I'm calling because I remember when I was young and stupid like Blake Snell. However, I hope when he goes into these stadiums, when fans do come back, I hope he gets booed every time he's on the mound. I've been a laborer for 35 years. He has no clue. And then after he gets booed in all the stadiums, I hope he blows out his arm.
Okay, that's a little strong. I don't wish physical harm on anyone. But he deserves to hear it. He deserves to hear a response to that. And he is clueless, completely clueless, as I think that union is. I think they've completely lost touch, Miz.
Can I root for him to suck?
Is that yeah, right? For sure.
Can I do that? Because, again, I just think what you have there is someone who was born with a gift, has the ability to throw the baseball 95 miles an hour and off speed and control and everything. I mean, you know, the guy had a hell of a year a couple of years ago. But I think what we're learning, if it weren't for that, who knows what the hell he'd be doing. So you would think someone like that would have an appreciation for his gift, but he clearly doesn't.
Dan in Worcester on the virtual fans. Hi, Dan.
Hey, I don't know if you guys are watching the UFC fight, but like for 10 minutes, you're like, "Oh, this is, you know, this is weird." But then by the end of it, you didn't even care. It was actually pretty cool. You got to hear things that you normally didn't get to hear. And I don't see why the this is my second point. Why the like baseball? Why would they do it if the UFC didn't do it? You only have everything to lose when you do it. It's gonna, you know, probably be a joke. And the same people who want the, you know, the sounds the day after, they'll be, you know, crapping on it for being a 90s sitcom. That's it. Thanks.
Oh, well, that's true. Maz and Murray kind of want it, but if it sounds corny, oh, well, they're going to rip it. That you can take to the bank. Doesn't make it
Wait fun. A minute. Wait a minute. I have said from the beginning that I am interested in seeing what it looks like, and it might be horrible. I've said that from the beginning. Don't accuse me of something that I didn't say.
No, I thought my commentary reflected that you'll come out the next day and rip it. Right? I mean, that's the whole deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this guy was implying that I want it because I think I'm going to like it. I'm telling you, I think there's every chance I'm going to hate it, but I want to see it.
Okay. There's a little bit of you that thinks you might like it. There's a little bit of you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's okay.
And I might hate it.
But the thing you said about UFC, I didn't see it. But that's sort of how I feel that it is. You're going to notice it if you think about it. You're going to notice it at first. But I bet you, if these leagues really go ahead and we have 2 months, 3 months of ball games in empty stadiums and arenas, by the end of it, you're really not going to notice it or care. And it's not going to affect your
viewing. No, the wrestling fans still notice it. They still care. They still bitch about
it. Okay, so I was going to ask you. So they don't do they don't pipe in anything fake with the wrestling?
No, in WWE, it's an empty arena. You hear every grunt. You hear all the trash talking. In All Elite Wrestling, they have the wrestlers. They have the good wrestlers on one side, the bad wrestlers on the other, and their crowd. So why not put stadium workers in there? Because that could work. Well, you test them all. You put them in the stands.
Do you care, Jimmy, when you watch it?
No, I don't care. I'm there for the art.
Exactly.
I've tuned it in. It's too weird. It's way too weird.
So Jim's the casual. I'm the hardcore.
Exactly. So you're an actual wrestling fan. You don't need crowd noise. You're there for the wrestling.
He's there for the art.
I'm there for the art form.
Right. Right. Coming
like
up,
he's freaking walking the halls of the Guggenheim.
Yeah, Andy Warhol
Picasso,
back there.
Damn it.
Exactly. Final word comes your way next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nope. So in case you are just tuning in, a lot of the talk today is centered around the discussion of fake fans at NFL games this fall, thanks to something that Joe Buck said and then was attacked on Twitter for mercilessly. So what could that sound like? Well, here's some booing and Twitter voices and how Felger and Maz think that this could potentially sound.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did. I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Is that what people were doing all day?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
You said it. I didn't say it. Oh, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it. I didn't say that. You said it.
Or what? Is it going to be like the boo button on the dome hockey, the USA-Russia hockey, Maz? Like
on that hockey game, that button's awesome. Boo. Boo. What if the jackass who's in front of the crowd noise hits the boo button when he's supposed to hit the cheer button? Like the Patriots score a touchdown week one at home. Boo. Boo. And then that'll be the end of the soundtrack. Boo.
Like you said, the boo button on the dome hockey. Oh, please.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots. So, yeah, treat us like idiots. Give me the fake crowd noise. I want it.
Okay.
Dumber the better.
I never said that. Yeah, you did. I didn't say that. Yeah, you did.
Get off your phone. Get off Twitter. Get off Twitter. For just a second, get off of it. Get off it. Turn your phone off.
I mean, seriously. I mean, I felt like that was a big part of the story. He denied he said it. And everyone just, all day, no, you said it. Like, What a waste of time.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't want to own it. Just own it. You did say it, and you can just tell from the way that he said it, you meant it. It's true. This is what
he definitely meant it. Please, again, he let the cat out of the bag. Someone told him that was on the QT, and he leaked out Fox's plans, and now they're pissed off at him.
So he tries to backtrack. But so, I mean, we have the tape, man. Like, this is really a waste of time when we can just press play on the tape. Either way,
I mean, to steal an old line, that's not what I said.
Well, we have the tape. It's a pretty simple argument there. And so people don't like him, huh, Murray?
Yeah, by and large, I feel like Joe Buck, like a lot of people don't like Joe Buck just because he's Joe Buck.
So, all right, is that all we got?
I believe that is it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.